Welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of October 25th, 2015. This is Jack Brissett Mills. Conversation today with my brother Dan. Very interesting and wonderful guy. So happy that we still know each other after all this time. But first, the verses for the week from week 30 of Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul. I wrote this one 2 years ago. Verse 30. What seemed like a death, the outer world approaching winter, I now feel inwardly as the warmth and light of my soul awakening into summer. The spirit of the world, like my inner feeling of self, awakens as its body stills. And this next one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse, 30a. I feel a ripening within, a new force thriving in my thinking that turns dry certitude into the joy of perception. My spirit is awakening with the warmth of summer, even as winter stalks the world. So here's my conversation with Dan. We did it over Skype, but I think it sounds all right. He was actually driving hands-free at the time, so it's as good as it can possibly be. Thanks for listening. When I'm working with people trying to think of something to say, I'll ask them if they have, if they've thought of some sentence that describes what they're doing with their life, not so much what they're doing as a job, but I don't know, like being on time is the most important thing, or you know, some sentence that.
By the way, you're 10 minutes late.
Yeah, like that, and so yeah. People fail all the time to do what they're.
Yeah. I like Michelle's answer. I was looking at a magazine, I think it was, or something online maybe. How well do you know your spouse?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a dozen questions, and I was able to answer all of them except one. It was, what are your spouse's goals in life? And so I said, oh, I just couldn't imagine. So I had to ask her. I said, Michelle, what are your goals? What do you hope for? Yeah. And she had a great answer. She says, honestly, I don't think I have any goals so much. I just want to live a good life. Yeah. And whatever that means, but I thought that was a great answer.
Nice. You know? I like that.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that I'd like to do before I die, but I can't say that they're transforming. You know something, though? I saw a painting, and I think it was probably done, I don't know, maybe, I think it was done in the last several hundred years. But it was a painting of the gods, you know, one of those kind of paintings. And it was Time. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you recognize it. The old man Time holding onto his side, and he was saving Truth from falsehood. Huh. And falsehood was down on the ground, and he was sticking the scythe in the guy's, you know, side or something like that. And Truth was just naked, beautiful, angelic female looking towards the sky, you know, and he was pulling her away, and falsehood was down on the ground. You could see his little mask falling off. He had a little mask hiding his face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time doing that. I was thinking to myself, I wonder if it really will save us all from falsehood. Go ahead.
Yeah, those paintings like that of the truth crawling out of a well, I've seen that one. It's really great. This amazingly beautiful young woman who's crawling out of this dark, horrible pit of a well, and she's got some wide open eyes, and she's coming out of the well. That's, you can't hide the truth somehow. She's coming out. Anyway, I love these.
I love it, man. I missed most of that, though. I'm really getting out in the wilderness here. I bet you I'm going to lose you. Can you still hear me okay?
I can still hear you, Dan, yeah.
Good, and you came in strong that time. I'm up on a little precipice now.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe that'll help us out. But the kind of thing, two things that I think are really important that would really come to light would be grit. You know, I don't know if people are capable, actually capable of, even myself, knowing, you know, truth when it walks right in front of us. But I saw a UFO. I told you that.
Yeah.
I saw one of them, damn.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like some of the former astronauts who've spoken about it. And I wonder what is true and what isn't true. And I got a feeling that the media, you know, that we have the marketing tool that they call the news media, isn't speaking truthfully. And I wonder, I would hope someday that, you know, I would be able to know the truth there and that everybody could.
I'm still with you. I often wonder what difference it would make to most of us if we all agreed, yes, there are other worlds. Yes, there are aliens that travel to Earth. Would we change whatsoever, you know?
Oh, man, I'm not sure. But it sure would change like our view of the restrictions that our understandings of physics place on us. Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yep.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, we would first have to hear from them how they got here. I mean, right?
Right.
And then we'd have to try do it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
I don't know if it would change us, though. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I remember when I was in high school, they kept expecting more from me, I think. Your teachers did. And reading literature and understanding hidden meanings and stuff like that. And pretty much I was, you know, reading the storyline and to try to pull more out of that. You know, I mean, I could understand if somebody else filled in the blanks. But I remember I got a quiz one time about, you know, this was an essay question, open-ended thing. And so maybe it was a writing exercise. Do you suppose that the truth is meant for everyone? That was the question. It's always stuck with me because I wrote, you know, a full page or so, and I turned it in, and I got a C on it. The teacher said, you have philosophized yourself into a deep hole. Yeah. Because I couldn't understand what he's talking about. It's the truth for everyone. And ever since then, I've kind of wondered about that. To me, it's one of the most important things for me to be honest and truthful, and also to understand, you know, and to live in reality without kidding myself. That's one of the really important things to me.
Of course, that question is a perfect one for an essay question. There really isn't an answer. It's simply a way to make you write something thoughtful. I don't know how you can get a C on it, though, if you're really trying. It seems like everybody's going to do well.
Well, you know the way school is, too, right? Yeah. Some teachers, if they like you, right? I had a gym teacher who gave me A's even though I never even dressed out for class. And other kids saw that and just wondered, how is that possible? You know, I go to class every day, I get a C. You don't even dress up, you get an A. That's because I would bullshit with the old guy afterwards, you know? You like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something what we learn from things, what we learn from school?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The hidden curriculum.
Yeah.
So to speak, yeah.
There was a great book called The Seven Lessons We Learn in School, or that we teach our kids in school. And it's just exactly what you're talking about. What time it is more important than anything you're doing.
I got you.
You know, things like that. You should never have friends that aren't your age.
Yeah.
You can never know if you're good or not. You have to ask an authority to tell you. Those kind of things. What you just said is another one. I don't think that was in his book, but I mean, it's who you know. That's the general idea. It's who you know.
Yeah. And who likes you, kind of like the people. Yeah.
What about truth, though? I mean, I've never thought about it, really. It's so commonplace that people talk about it. I only know it in me. I suppose I have a feeling for it when I look at a physical process. If I hear a noise and then I go in the room to see what happened, you scan the surroundings looking for something. Oh, there's something out of place. Oh, yes, it would make that sound. Okay, that's the truth. That thing just fell.
Sure.
I can see a truth like that where you're putting things together in your mind. But I don't think that's what people mostly are talking about. I don't think...
Well, right. Well, you know, okay, well, there's this Whitey Bulger, I guess his name was. I guess he was kind of like quoted on the radio as teaching his son. I guess maybe his son was telling him that one of his lessons was that if nobody saw it, it didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he was a pretty horrible guy.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing, you know, truth, you know, is important to me. But the other thing, of course, is, you know, being a drunk, ex-drunk, and just so mixed up. Once I got sobered up and found out that I was lying to myself about all kinds of stuff, and the truth, it was obvious to other people about me. I was totally unaware of,
right.
Absolutely unaware of it. Yeah. And things that I thought were true about me actually weren't, that kind of stuff, you know.
Wow.
And so it's always been real important to me on a personal level. But then there's all this other stuff. I hate deception, you know, and I hate being deceived. Yeah.
Oh, yourself, of course, yeah. I have I have evidence of that of myself with my friends when I was in my 20s. They would say, man, I saw you. And they would be trying to tell me something,
yeah.
Something I did, which I don't. Did not notice I was doing.
Yeah.
But in the last decade, you know, who knows how deceitful you are with yourself. I have the firm conviction that I know what I'm doing. How horrible is that, you know? That's the worst thing, I think, that we really believe in ourselves. I mean, we're supposed to believe in ourselves, and yet that's the ultimate folly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be.
Boy.
It can be.
I mean,
you know, we have to depend. Go ahead.
No, I want you to finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, we have to kind of depend on other people to check us out on that.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
That's the best thing about having a spouse, is there such a great mirror.
Right.
Such a great mirror.
Right. Right. But then, of course, you know, that's too much power for one person.
Yeah.
Too, you know? I mean, you're right. You're right. A trusted partner. But. Yeah, anyway, that's
just
a challenge for sure.
I was going to say how weird this place is. That, I mean, we can blame this or that, and this isn't right, and that's wrong, and that's not fair. And then you look around, and why does everything here have to eat everything else? You know,
The
heck? Who thought of this place? Everything here has got to eat everything else. If you don't eat something else, they're going to eat you.
That actually sounds so funny when you say it doesn't it?
I mean, that is what we got here, right? If you sit down in one place, right away the ants are going to say, hey, are you alive? You know, are you okay?
Yeah, you're right.
You got to keep moving.
Right.
You get hungry, so you eat something, and you don't. You kind of shrug your shoulder and say, "Well, I've got to eat, right?" No, why do you have to eat? If you really were conscious of yourself, you would say, "Look, I'm not going to go along with this. This is wrong. Everything about this place is wrong. I can't do this."
A lot of people do, though. I look up to them, the vegans, you know, that kind of thing, the vegetarians, and I know a few. Boy, I respect them, but I just can't make myself do it, you know?
There's lines, though, Dan. If you were only eating plants and minerals, you'd have to say, wait, I only eat minerals. You, you know, you people, you're eating plants. That's how disgusting. And then... But then there's a line there, too. Then and suddenly, well, the minerals have a say. Well, they've been around the longest. They've been here since the beginning. How can you be...
Yeah, that's right.
I don't get the whole thing. The fact that people are bad or people are evil, man. The whole basis of everything about this place. You heard that great. I think I wrote this in one of my writings.
Yeah.
If there was a God, why didn't he make a better God that doesn't fuck shit up? You know.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
I mean, I love my life. I love the world. But if you start looking at it with any kind of microscope, it's a horrible place. This is a wild place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah, so the bigger questions. Go ahead. The bigger questions are...
No, you go ahead.
I'm just finishing that thought. So if the basic thing is screwed up, then the bigger questions of justice and right and wrong, who knows? I have no idea.
Yeah. It's really, it seems like it's almost got to be like trivial, almost life and death. You'd think the way, you know, death is so, I mean, it's everywhere, rampant, right? I mean, since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And horrible death, eating, yeah, some other creature and stuff like that. And so really, when you look at it like that, it's, you got to conclude, well, yeah, you know, even though I don't want to die and I hate it when my friends die and my pets die, and I never see them again, and as far as I know, they don't exist anymore. I hate all that, but it's got to be fucking trivial. It's got to be like we're going to wake up someday and say, oh, yeah, well, it was all just a game. You know, everybody's still okay, you know, everybody's still behind the curtain.
I love that. I mean, that's the basic premise of the book I wrote, I imagined how this particular world could actually be okay if you just think it differently.
Yeah.
Like you just said there, you wake up and you go, oh, everything's okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That's nice. That's the only way I can justify the sufferings of little children and the sufferings of whole races of people.
You know, I was wondering if maybe our cells in our body, all these cells that live and die and communicate and work together and grow and die, if maybe they don't have little minds of their own in their nucleoplasmic or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe down in that little nucleus, or maybe they don't even need the nucleus, but maybe in the cell itself it has some kind of an awareness, a consciousness, and thinks of itself. You know, where is all of this nutrients coming from, and how is it that I was alive here? And maybe there's a God, you know, in this universe somewhere. Yeah.
I don't know. I do think of when I'm aging now, and I think, you know, these guys have been pulling together for my sake for a long time, but I think they're starting to lose interest. You know, they're starting to pull away and say, this is stupid. I'm not going to do this anymore. Our bodies just start falling apart. And
yeah,
I mean, why were they together in the first place? And now they're not going to stay together any longer. They want to disintegrate. Yeah. And they're all working for us, all these separate things. And no organizing principle whatsoever. I am the organizing principle, and I don't know what is going on. You know,
yeah, really, man.
Who is me? Who is I? Who am I doing here? What am I doing here?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've always been fascinated by a damn tree. And I asked Dad one time, you know, I was looking at this tree, and it was a big dead tree. You were on this job with me. I remember we were together on that job. But out the back door, there was this giant, maybe it was a poplar, I don't know, but it was dead, and it was big. And the bark had all stripped off the thing. It was shiny, standing there as tall as it ever was, dead. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, why in the hell did it do all that in the first place? You know, where did it go? But where the devil is the damn tree itself? I mean, like, we have a brain. We can point to that and say, that's where our soul resides, or our heart. We can say, down there in our chest, that's where our emotions reside, or something, but in the stomach maybe. But the tree has no heart or brain, so I look at the trunk and I say, is that, you know, where the center part of the tree, you know, is that where its essence is? If it had a mind, would it be there? You know, it doesn't have anything. It's all just functional, it seems like. You know, this part does this for that part, but I don't know, that just kind of
nice
blows me away sometimes. It did when I was smoking dope, and it still does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Jokes that were funny back then aren't funny anymore, but some of those thoughts are still mysterious.
That's the one good thing about dope, is it makes you come up with pretty cool thoughts.
Yeah, I think so.
I've read clairvoyant people saying that trees have an awareness, and the awareness is centered rather close to the ground, about our height. A big tree would have its awareness pretty much at our height. Anyway, who knows? But I've often imagined that trees are aware and just a little slow. They're slower than we are, so we can't quite communicate with them.
All right.
And
you and I've talked about this before, but even inanimate things seem, well, they have to be aware, you know? I mean, they know what to do when you kick them or push them around. They know how to respond. And so it seems like, and we're made up of all that in application. Shit, go ahead.
That's what you were talking about. You were saying, how does a thing like a chair know it's a chair? And how come it keeps being a chair? How come it doesn't just it persists. And how does it do that? Of course, some of these are physically answered by, you know,
and I don't understand any of it. The more we talk about that, the least I understand it.
Yeah, but why did we start out with hydrogens in the first place? Why did we start out with quarks in the first place that turned into protons, that turned into hydrogen? Why did all that happen in the first place? God.
Yeah, really, man.
Great.
I was thinking this morning, something else we've talked about, but, you know, I always remember there's four fundamental forces, whatever the hell forces are now, you know?
Yeah.
In physics, and those have changed. When I was in high school, it was Van der Waals forces. He was one of them. But the Pauli exclusion principle, you can't have something in the same place at the same time if it's the same quantum state, you know? What kind of force presents that? And I don't know. There has to be some kind of you might try. You might try to smash those two damn things into the same quantum state, but they'll resist.
That's the trouble with physics. We don't know anything, so we say these things like the exclusion Heisenberg's principle, and why can't things stop vibrating at absolute zero? Well, if they stopped vibrating, we'd know where they were, and we can't have that.
That violates the principle.
We're at the bare. I mean, we don't have anything in the cupboard. We just come up with some idea.
How about this? How about Einstein's explanation of gravity? Right. I mean, now he took away this spooky action at a distance thing through a vacuum, and now space warps. Okay, well, that explains everything. Space warps. And so things are following a straight line trajectory in a warped space time.
Right.
What the fuck has that done for us, really? You know, now, instead of a force, now we got to imagine the space. You know, what the hell is that?
Yeah, the fact that a chair is actually the only anti-gravity device you'll ever need. You know, the chair. It's stopping you from going down to the center of the Earth. So. That's anti-gravity right there. What more do you want? You know.
Yeah, there you go. And we're traveling in time right now, of course.
Yeah,
I guess.
I like the fact that you can think these things, that I can think these things. It lifts us out of the rat race. You know, I really do think that paying the bill isn't important. Paying the bill is like the least important thing. But seeing the person next to you, you know, being nice to the person next to you, petting the dog. Today I picked up a toad and I put him in a little bit of water. You know, I'll probably think about that toad tonight when I go to bed. I have a toad friend.
Or even a spider, blowing them off the doorknob instead of squashing them.
That these thoughts we're having about time and space, they're not really important, except that they lift us up of the rat race and they help us to not be nuts, not be gross.
You know, I agree with you. Yeah. And that kind of stuff really comes home, you know, in a situation like I was in last week, thinking that there was a good possibility that my time was up with this lung cancer scare. All of that stuff comes home, you know, and actually is comforting. You know, the mystery is comforting and even exciting in a way.
I'm really looking forward. I'm, you know, you talk yourself into anything. I am looking forward to dying. I'm actually looking forward to it because it's going to be cool. I'm convinced that it's going to be cool.
That's a great idea, Jack. That's a great attitude, as long as you don't, you know, hasten the end.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and savor what you got here, but...
A person should enjoy where they are. And so I love my life. And then when I'm dying, I will love dying. You can talk yourself into anything. So I'm going to talk myself into that I will love dying.
Well,
my life.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there's something else that I'll keep in mind, and I had it in my mind last week. It's a lot like, it's very much like the conversation you and I had when I was looking at ending my job over there. I thought that they were ready to, you know, show me the door.
All right.
And yeah, and what we talked about is, you know, how do you want to be remembered, whether they keep you or whether they throw you away? How do you want to be remembered? And that was really important. And then it is important.
Yeah.
I know that I handle that, not talking to them, not getting excited, not being scared. They remember that, and it impressed them. And I think that Diane, I was thinking this last week, I'd have this opportunity to actually demonstrate, you know, how to go through it.
Yeah.
For Michelle and for other people close to me. Like Dad, Dad did that.
And not only does it...
And Mom. Go ahead.
And not only do you die better and you get fired better, but you actually don't get fired and you actually live... You actually live longer.
That's right.
It's wild.
It is. And it's actually more enjoyable, in a way. And it gives us some meaning, too. It's like, hey, I have a job to do here. You know, I got to face this and I got to... find a way through it, and then I'll demonstrate to people I love, you know, how it's done.
Well, I am very happy. I'm very happy you don't have lung cancer. That's really great.
Yeah, me too. I always figured that that's the way I'm going to go, and not to say that, you know, but I wouldn't be at all surprised any day. Like I was, wouldn't have been surprised last week.
No.
Yeah, I got some pretty screwed up lungs.
Yeah, but
you're right. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. All right, Dan. I love you. Thanks for talking. That's great.
Oh, yeah. You bet. And this is a pretty good time, too, because I'm ready to turn off the road here.
That's great. Thank you. Good luck. Yeah, good luck. Good luck with your work.
You bet. And I'll touch base with you, if not tonight, tomorrow, okay?
Good. I love you, Dan.
All right, man. You too, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, my brother Dan. Thanks again. What an excellent guy. So drop me a line at reasoningwithanoptimist.net if you have a suggestion. If you want to converse, Jack Brissett-Mills here. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.